This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's just check in quickly. Tournament Blitz, games back at it tomorrow, both our teams Friday night. Rico, music, please. What?
All right, Mike. Well, here's the thing. We got the Sweet 16 coming up. So how about we do this? I was listening to Cash Your Ticket. Good job by you and Cookies.
That felt patronizing.
No. I love how you two go back and forth. So I said, you know what, Mike, this is made for you. We're going to take each of the games in the Sweet 16, and we're going to, Mike, you're going to tell us how the underdog team can win.
Okay.
And I have some suggestions for you.
This is good.
Let's start off. BYU and Bama. Bama's favorite to win the game. How can BYU defeat Alabama?
Just continue the irrational shooting. Look, it's going to be a race to 90. I mean, the total's like 176. Damas or whatever the hell the freshman point guard for BYU's name is. He was terrible in the regular season. Yeah. He's a fabulous shooter now. It's just you're going to have to take and make more threes and somehow keep Mark Sears from shooting 10, 12, 14 free throws. Be my best answer I can offer you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I had as well.
It's a race. Those two teams ain't nobody slowing down.
And BYU will have to defend the rim. So, Florida and Maryland. Florida's favorite, Maryland, is the underdog. How can Maryland beat the number one seed and some think can win the whole thing, Florida Gators?
Yeah. The problem with Maryland is they're so good, but they have no depth. They just don't have depth. So
is it as simple as for Maryland to just control the fast breaks and control the boards?
Yeah, almost grimy the game up a little bit. And you got to hope Florida, see, you're asking me ways, and a lot of this has to do with Florida. Right. You know, can Florida play a sloppy first 12 minutes like they did against UConn? Can they turn the ball over? The problem is Florida has better answers at more places. I just have such, and look, Queen and Gillespie, and I mean, they've got really nice players. But Rico, this one I would lean on you. I struggle with a way for Maryland to beat Florida.
Like I said,
I really do.
No, like I said, if they can control Florida's fast break, as you say, slow this thing to a crawl, and by slowing the game down, it's no wear and tear on your crap five, the starting five, because now, okay, we're going to make every second count, go deep into the shot clock. You can't get into running up and down with them because Florida will just blow you out.
They're so scary. Their guards are... The shot-making ability is incredible. Yeah.
So, yes, like I said, they're underdogs for a reason, folks. We're just trying to have some fun with this. Duke and Arizona.
Jesus. Arizona would
Jesus,
need.
You mean Caleb Love?
No, I mean, Caleb Love would have to have his once or twice a year eruption for 35. You'd have to catch an off night from Duke. Arizona's problem, they do not play a level of defense, comprehensively or individually, to stop Duke. I think if they want to win this game, they got to keep this thing in the high 70s. Because Duke may get to 90. I just, Caleb Love and prayer. Those would be my two things.
You know what, Mike? You nailed Caleb Love, perimeter defense. In the, you know, when Caleb Love has scored 21 points per game, they've won. When he scored less than 10 points a game, they've lost.
Yes.
It really boils down to him. Texas Tech and Arkansas. Arkansas is the underdog.
Yeah. And I look, for Arkansas, the recipe is the recipe. Guard. Rim protection. Their bigs have been fabulous. Long, athletic. And you have two playmaking guards with Boogie Fland and Numbnuts. I always want to say PJ Warren. Oh, my God. The kid's name escapes me. The point is, turn this into, we're going to out-execute you. We have better athletes than you. And if they can protect the rim, neutralize JT Toppin a little bit.
Yeah.
Arkansas is live in that game. Don't you feel that way?
I do, because for me, guys, you got to defense, you got to stop topping. And you need somebody, whether it's Boogie, somebody has to get hot. Somebody has to have that game
well,
of their life.
Here's the other thing. Arkansas is a lot like Michigan State. Bad three-point shooting team. You're going to need to hit shots.
And that's why I said somebody's going to have that game where you're like, wow, didn't see that coming, in order to knock off Texas Tech. Speaking of Michigan State, Michigan State, Ole Miss.
I mean, for Ole Miss, it's just lock up.
How does Ole Miss win?
Lock up Jace Richardson. I mean, start right there. He's a freshman. That game is mentally maybe weighing on him. And you've got to keep this thing in the 50s. Keep this thing as a race to 60. Make it a grindhouse kind of game. Do not let MSU run. Slow the pace. And I still believe, and you saw it against New Mexico, the way they were hedging out and really contesting a lot of the screens and pushing out towards half court, MSU did not have clean pathways off the handoff. Just make everything difficult and really just don't let State run. Don't let them live at the line. I'm very nervous about that game as a State fan. I'm the opposite of a Michigan fan. Like, no, I'm not convinced State's winning that game. Not in the least. Chris Beard is an outstanding coach.
No, he is. Now, they're going to go with a smaller lineup.
Yeah.
And Michigan State's one of the few teams that can actually bring out a smaller lineup. But we're talking about how can Ole Miss win. One of the things that I had, Ole Miss can't turn the ball over the way they did. I think they had 22 turnovers in the last weekend.
Yeah, I think that probably you could just put that as the starting point for any upset. Yeah. You want to get to this point, protect the ball.
Yeah. So, okay. Kentucky, Tennessee. Kentucky's trying to beat Tennessee for the third time, but they are the underdog.
Yeah. Speed the game up. Speed the game up and try to play better individual defense. Those would really be the two things. Tennessee generally is going to want to body you. They're going to want to grind you down. Kentucky beat them twice in the regular season, and they push the pace. So those would be the two for me.
What about the whole beating a team a third time? I'm talking about Kentucky and
Tennessee. I think it's more difficult. Of course I do. And just because, like, I know what you're inferring. Like, okay, just because I think State would beat Michigan, I don't think they're going to beat them by 20. But, it's harder. You know every set. You know every player. Yeah. You've got 80 minutes of game tape that's real and live and against you to hyper and micro-analyze.
Right. So, Auburn and Michigan. Speaking of Michigan, how can Michigan defeat Auburn?
All right, start with the turnovers because that's your recipe. The other thing is, no, I'm being serious.
No. That was number one on my list.
The issue will be Cardwell is going to be on Golden. They're going to put Broom on Wolf. What are your guards going to give you? Now, Kaysan was a little bit of a revelation. You know, Hurd coming out here with 28 points. They're going to need, I don't know, man. From all the guards, Donaldson, Kaysan, whatever your guard rotation is, they're going to need 40 points.
Yeah.
They're just going to need support because I think the bigs, while talented and effective, This is a real challenge. I mean, Auburn has got an answer for just about everything you want to do.
And, Mike, that's the key is the guard play, because I saw a stat that with Auburn under Bruce Pearl, when their guards collectively in the tournament score 50 points or more, they're undefeated. When they score under 35 collectively, they lose every time.
Power stat.
Can Michigan's guard defend and keep Auburn from getting into the lane and making easy baskets? And I think Area 51 has to outplay the Auburn big man. Playing and stay out of foul.
That's a lot of stuff, by the way.
It's how can the underdog win?
I know. I'm just saying, well, and there's a reason the spread is approaching 10 points.
And then this is the one that had me cracking up listening to Cash the Ticket. Make sure you download it.
What?
First. Houston and Purdue.
I'm Purdue's in a lot of trouble here.
I heard you.
You know, we've talked about this with Braden Smith and then your guy, Ren, whatever.
Oh, yes.
Whatever. They're big. Those are the only two players they got. And I just got a hard time believing those two guys on their own are going to go into the teeth of the Houston defense and carry them. But if you're going to do it, got to get this game moving up and down. You're going to have to get out. You're going to have to hit a ton of threes, because scoring on Houston on a possession-by-possession basis is a nightmare. So, yeah, man, I think they're in a lot of trouble. That's the, like, if you ask me to two, I got a hard time building a case for Purdue and Maryland. I got an easier case to build for Michigan. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it's more identifiable.
Yeah. Michigan, you got to shut down their guards, and your guards have to step up, plain and simple. But for Purdue, Mike, it's very simple, and I know it's not even the turnovers. You got to hit your threes. Now, Purdue's going to, if they get the threes rolling, they got the home crowd. They're 10 minutes from campus. So, but yeah, between Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, can those guys just start raining in threes and maybe you could upset Houston. So that's your Sweet 16 Blitz. 97-1.
We are going to take a few phone calls. People were very patient holding on the Piston stuff. We'll do that now. If you want Tigers, we had a fun open. Opening day is tomorrow. I know it's not the home opener, but it's opening day. Odyssey.com rewind on that. And in about 10 minutes, I just want to bring something up that should make you very thankful for Jared Goff.
Oh?
We'll talk about it.
Briefly. Jared Goff.
That's right. Let's go to Isaiah on a cell, 97.1. Hello, Isaiah.
What up, Mike, Rico? How y'all boys doing?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Just wanted to bring up the Pistons a little bit. Like, I'm kind of like you. I agree with you, Mike. It's like, I want to see us what we can do this summer. Yeah, I'm riding the vibes right now. Like, yeah, we played the Spurs, and we should do that to the Spurs without Wimby and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I was at the game against the Thunder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I could just see, like, man, we couldn't stop SGA, man. I know he's a top five player, but it was like, you know, I like seeing games like that that kind of show where we really are at, you know?
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned SGA. I saw a stat today, not to stray from your point, Isaiah, but he leads the league in scoring, or I think he's 7 points off the lead through three quarters. He's over 350 points ahead for the scoring title if I factor his fourth quarters. That's insane.
Man, I know. It is, and he was cooking us, man, game, like, literally. And it was just like, you know, and like, this offseason, I'm kind of like the Tigers. It was like pitching chaos, all that. All right, cool. You know, it was nice. I went to the game, like, what are we going to do after that? And it's just like, all right, you know what I'm saying? We ain't doing nothing. I'm so mad at the Tigers. I know you ain't talking about them, but it's like, bro.
No, it's all right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? What's next? And of course, and as Detroit, like, we always like, oh, this guy. Like, no, if we can get a Booker or somebody of that stature, get him. Because I know how we want to win, grid and bad boy, this and that, but we got to just get the best players, man, go it that way.
Cade needs a running mate. That's the bottom line. He's a superstar. He can – look, if you – let's say you brought in a Devin Booker. Both guys have experience on and off the ball. They'd be an unstoppable backcourt, and you can fill, put shooters around it, create space. Alari Markkanen, it's kind of the same principle. You get the stretch four, create space, pick and roll game. Yeah, I mean, Isaiah, they got to do something to get to the next level. But this is fun for right now, and it's refreshing that, look, they got their respect back. They're no longer the plunger of the league.
Yeah.
Like, that's all we could ask for. And that's where it ends for me. Now, a lot of people have higher hopes. They think they're capable of doing more. Fine. Who's going to be disappointed in that? Nobody. But I'm not going to predict that. Because, again, yeah, all right, we play. Well, look what we did to OKC, yeah, in the middle of February. And they're down two starters. Like, it doesn't, it's not the playoffs.
No, sometimes it's the steps, Mike. And you look back. I'm not going to count the Tigers because the Tigers, to me, look like they're taking a step back. But I look at, I still go back to, I hearken.
Hearken.
to that Lions-Packers game where they couldn't go to the playoffs, but they still went out there and they beat the Packers, ended Aaron Rodgers' career out there. That was the first step to me. That showed me this team was business. They followed it up, NFC Championship, followed up with this last season, best record in the league. I'm hoping for the Pistons. This is the beginning of a run like that the Lions had.
Yeah, it
just keeps getting better and better. And it's going to take somebody else to come in here because you're not going to get them through the draft.
Let's go to Sam, 97.1. Sammy, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, so the question I have for you is kind of twofold. First one is, if the Pistons go into the playoffs and surprise everybody, have a certain level of success, does that actually decrease the chance that they actually make it to the summer? And I guess to follow up on that, what level of success would you have to see in the playoffs to be okay with them not making a big move in the summer?
None. I mean, literally, like, if you're saying, Sam, they could make the Eastern Conference Finals as one of the greatest turnarounds in history, I'm still making the move. There's just a way it's got to get done in the NBA, Sam. You got to get Kate a running mate here. So for me, I'm unaffected by it.
Right.
Because what it's going to take to get over the hump and actually win and put another Larry O'Brien in the trophy case, it requires that. So for me personally, no, there's nothing they could do where I'd be like, nope, we're good. We're going to have a Scott Harris summer.
Right. And that's just it. Because, Sam, if they overachieve and they go out there and it's now saying you're even closer than what you actually think, you have to make a move to get over that hump.
I definitely agree with that. I just wonder if they have success,
yeah,
is Tom Gore is going to spend the money?
Can't predict it. Sammy, I know what you're getting at. I don't have that answer. And look, Sam, all I can go by is money was never the problem with Gores. He just didn't know what the hell he was doing. So now they've hired someone who clearly is off to a good start. He made a bold move to buy a coach out on an egregious contract that, well, it was his fault. I mean, Monty said no multiple times, and Gores was like, please. So, Sam, I gotta take him at his word. He'll spend the money. But I tell you the problem, Sam, if you end up building this thing, like the first caller we had, Sammy, guy calls up and goes, Jalen Duren's a top five center. Guy's not a top five center in Washtenaw County. And it's
you and play that game that you
no. My
play.
Point is, I mean, Jalen Duren's fine enough. I'm not handing him $180 million. So my point is, the worst thing you could do is fall in love with your own players, sign everybody, and you're capped out. Versus, let's strike while the iron's hot, and let's go do this while some of these guys are on rookie deals, and it's going to be Cade, Batman, and Robin, and let's make a run. And no, obviously, Duren's a good player, but he's not a top 10 center in the sport. It was a ridiculous comment. I just don't want anyone freaking out on ticket text when I make a joke.
No, it was just funny. You're like, is he better than this guy? Is he better?
I was doing it during a break with you. It was a private conversation where I'm like, can you believe these calls? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, better than Wemby, better than Jokic, better than Sengun, better than Adebayo, better than KP, better than Jaren Jackson, better than Unibrow, better than Zubats. Like, what are we doing? That was a private conversation.
We're okay.
I'm just making a point. Like, when I vent to you during a break, I was trying to be nice.
I think it made sense.
The people needed to know.
I can't.
People need
to. You know what?
I apologize.
Aaron is going to get the last word, and then I want to make people feel good about themselves for something at my own personal cost. Let me go to Aaron. He gets the last word on the Pistons. Aaron, floor is yours. What's up, bud?
Hey, I really appreciate the last word. Mike Rico, David Kenny, I love you guys for 20 hours a week. I get to, like, escape from my life because of you guys, and I've loved you for years.
Well, thanks, man.
So here's the thing about the Pistons. My floor with them is a first-round win. And the reason being, They offensive rebound, and they actually work on the defensive end. If you're playing the Pacers, and it's Mathurin and Nembhard and Halliburton, well, I'm sorry, but Dern is not a top 10 center, and I agree with you, Mike.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
But Dern and Thompson and Stewart can out-rebound them and make it very hard for them to score the points that they need to score.
Yeah, the Pacers, I saw it last year when they played the Celtics. The Pacers are a pain in the ass, but it's all about shot making. I mean,
exactly.
They can go out, they can put up a buck 30, or they can get blown out of the building. I'm not arguing it.
And I'm not gonna entertain the fact that we could lose to the New York Knicks because Tom Thibodeau is like the donkey walking the giant stone around the thing while he throws his players' kneecaps into it when they play 50 minutes in every 48-minute game.
Yeah. Look, Aaron, I will.
That's why Brunson is still injured. That's why Cat doesn't matter. What is Cat gonna do when it comes to the fact that Dern and Thompson are out rebounding every game and he's standing out in the corner shooting threes? This is the year that they have to get a first round playoff win. And then, like you said, go out this summer and get somebody a running mate and trade one of those guys to make sure that next year, not only can they rebound and play defense and run the pace, but they have the ability to beat these god-awful Eastern Conference teams.
I agree with the Pacer thing. I think the Knick thing, you're being a little disrespectful, Aaron. I mean, again, you've just marginalized Cat, a guy who's averaging 26 and 14 a night. I just want
a three-point shooter.
No, I just, you know, what is he going to do? I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to take your players away from the basket, and he's going to operate. Look, you don't like Tibbs. He plays his guys too much. Fine. Brunson got hurt. It's a false equivalency. But if we're going to just marginalize Karl Anthony Towns, that's fine. I be careful marginalizing, 25 and 13 a night and one of the most gifted bigs in the league scoring. I'm a bad guy. The other guys get paid too. I'd be a little careful. Yeah. Knicks are a very good offensive team.
Because if given the opportunity, I'm quite sure you would take Karl Anthony Towns over Durant.
No, they wouldn't. That's the problem. No, they wouldn't. I could offer them Karl Anthony Towns over Ausar Thompson. This fan base would say no. You don't understand what's happening. It's a seduction.
No, I refuse.
This is like when Kenny opens a bottle of beer. Seduction. These people are seduced. Admiral, I could offer you Cat for Ron Holland. They'd say no. You don't get it. Seduced. What about Sasser? No.
Beef stew.
Fontecchio? F-U-O. They won't. I'm telling you. I could offer him Wemby. They'd say the French are soft. There's nothing I can do. 97-1. All right. I just wanted to take one segment. Then we'll get back to business. But I know it's been a brutal offseason for Lion fans and the way it all ended, and you're hurting. I get it. I just want to remind you of where you came from and where you are, and at my own expense. Now, I don't have feelings anymore. I've given up on having an NFL team. So I made a joke to Rico earlier, and this is really for the people who want to hammer Jared Goff, right? The Giants signed Russell Wilson, which on its own is a big nothing burger.
Word association.
Fake word that rhymes with duck, weirdo. Look, the Giants' win total before signing Russell Wilson was 3.5 wins. Russell Wilson is so impactful that win total is still 3.5 wins. The reason I say it is, I am at a point where it doesn't matter. I had this conversation last night with somebody, and I said, do you realize the Giants are in such a position? They could sign Patrick Mahomes, and they wouldn't win 10 games. So my whole point to people is, how about Hatchett, who's on vacation, David from the clouds? Hey, congrats on your new bleeping quarterback. I go, that's a nice way for a pastor to talk. So look. Do I like Russell Wilson? No. We did a topic a couple weeks ago. I go, look, there are very few players that I would struggle to root for.
I root for the helmet. I root for the jersey. I'll deal with Russell Wilson. But I actually am okay with this because this is how bad it is for my team. And it's how good you have it as a Lions fan right now. No slander. This allows the Giants to draft the best football player possible because whether they took Shedeur Sanders, whether they got Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes' doppelganger could descend from the sky.
You don't think he can get the Giants to 10 wins?
Absolutely not.
God. Kenny?
I would love to punch him in the face in an unlimited fashion.
We're going to need a whole drops bank.
You know what I want to do? I will offer this to you. I will custom create for football season a Rico Beard, Russell Wilson soundboard. Carte blanche.
Oh, no. I'm going to see if Robbie, if I can get it on my laptop so I can just, you know.
And I welcome it because I deserve that. But
see, Mike, you touched upon something. And maybe, just maybe this is a blessing in disguise.
Yes, I get Mason Graham maybe.
And on top of that, you could draft somebody, a quarterback in the second round that you can maybe.
Like, I would love to take Mason Graham.
What do you mean, Sparty?
Yeah, when guys graduate, I don't care where they played. Yeah. Like, he's a war daddy. I put him next to Dexter Lawrence. You know what I would do? Move up and try to get Jackson Dart or Milroe. I don't know.
About to say, if you got Milroe, yeah, then I think maybe you got somebody
who. Or if our win total's 3.5. You take no one, you get Arch Manning next year. I don't know what to tell you. But I just want, it is one of those things where we talk about the Lions and these conversations get very heated where it's like, what do you mean we're only going to win 12 games? You're a hater. And it's like, cutscene. My team just paid $21 million for a quarterback. 3.5? 3.5. I mean, Christ, Vegas for fun should have just said, all right, half a win. Is Russell Wilson's goofy ass worth half a win?
You're now at 4.5. Would you feel better? He's worth a game?
They said Russell Wilson is worth less.
You're like, can I get 4, please?
Just Kenny, 3.75. It makes no difference on the win total, but it would make me feel better. But think about where you're at as a Lions fan. For all the consternation and the stressing out, and we talk about, man, we need an edge rusher, or I wish they did this, that. Look at what is out there for whether it's David Steelers, whether it's my Giants. Look at the Cleveland Browns. I mean, you have teams in complete disrepair.
Yeah. I don't think Cleveland knows what they want to do. The question I do want to know, Mike, I left you alone. People bothered me wanting to know, have you checked in on Mike?
About what?
About Russell Wilson.
Oh, it's
fine. I left it alone because I'm like, you know what? He's probably being inundated with text messages and phone calls. I left you. Just remember, I left you alone.
It's fine. Look, I'm actually okay with this because no quarterback would save us.
I just need to know, what does Big G think? Where's Big G on this?
He's been very quiet.
Because that's the barometer.
He's been very quiet because he doesn't like Russell Wilson either. But understand, the one thing the Giants did is they provided us radio content for football season with you guys in listener land. Because they have, bar none, the most outer space, tripping balls, LSD quarterback room on earth. Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston. Two of the weirdest people to ever play professional football in the same room. You're going to have Jameis, like, licking his fingers. You're going to have Russell doing weird videos.
So, wait, does Russell eat the W sideways?
I don't know, man. I don't know, man. I just can tell you, for radio purposes, this will be a good time. That's all.
I just wanted to say,
look, I know we're a little frustrated with the Lions, and they just brought the band back together. My team signed a quarterback for $21 million, and Vegas went lowest win total in the league. Well, how'd we do with this signing? Let me check my notes. Yep, lowest win total in the league. 3.5.
It was one of those things.
3.5.
When I got the news, Kenny, I had to double check it with like 5 different sources. Because I'm wait.
I'd like to say personal growth by me because I didn't text Mike at all. I know David did.
But you guys would be fine to do it because you know my feelings on my team, and all I can do is laugh. this actually works for me because then hopefully they don't take a quarterback.
No, because I treated that news like when a team loses. I'm not going to call you. You already feel bad enough.
No, I don't.
You don't need to hear from me.
I'm already envisioning Brian Burns, Mason Graham, Dexter Lawrence, and Kayvon Thibodeau. Just let me live. No quarterback is going to save us. So, Lions fan, I want you to feel better about yourself.
So they're not going to be chanting Russell Wilson in grocery stores?
Dude.
Wait. Is Tommy Cutlets still going to be there, too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Between Cutlets' agent, Jameis Winston, and Russell Wilson, is there a sane human being in the New York Giants quarterback room?
Somewhere out there, Daniel Jones is laughing.
Oh. Big time. So look.
How you like me now?
Yeah. Just remember, Lions fans, I know it's not perfect, and I know some of you get down on Jared Goff, but here's the other side of the coin.
Wow. Okay. Like I said, I just needed to know where Big G stood with this.
Oh, God. All right, if you're going to create the Rico soundboard for football season, you got to get the worst Subway commercial in history. When he tasted the sandwich and it was like spicy and it was the fakest, hey, this sandwich is hot. Here's me telling you it's hot.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, eating it sideways, that's how he's going to, him and Jameis, eat this W sideways.
Mm-hmm. 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 So, okay, we're good. I just wanted to pass along a message that, you know what? We're going to get in draft mode. Brad's going to cook. It's going to be okay.
So
3.5 over under right now.
Over. He's worth a game.
Vegas doesn't think so.
Kenny, what if they took Shador?
The fact that Vegas doesn't think, and they're factoring all that in too.
What if they took Shador with the pick 3?
I can offer you this.
I'll take the under.
Okay. Thanks, Kenny.
You know how hard it is in the NFL to lose less than three, I mean, to only win less than 3 games?
In fact,
we just did it this year. Indeed. I can tell you all about it.